Welcome to Treasure the Word. Here are some insights on Isaiah 59-63. His own arm brought salvation. Isaiah's diagnosis of sin in this section is as sweeping as anything in Scripture, and he is careful to include himself in it. Our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. We grope for the wall like the blind. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. This is not a prophet standing above his people, cataloging their failures from a safe distance. It is a prophet confessing we, and the confession reads almost like a preview of Paul's own summary centuries later. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God. Romans 3:10-13. And then comes one of the most striking pivots in the entire book. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him. When human righteousness proved entirely insufficient, when there was, quite literally, no one qualified to intercede, God did not lower the standard. He supplied the intercessor himself. This is the same logic Paul would later draw out explicitly. What the law, weakened by human flesh, could never accomplish, God accomplished by sending his own Son. Romans 8:3-4. Isaiah names the problem 7 centuries before the solution arrives in history, and names it with startling precision. Humanity's need was never for better effort. It was for someone else entirely. Out of that same section comes a promise that reads almost like the new covenant language of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. My spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth from now and forever. This is not a promise of external law imposed from outside, but of an internal, permanent, spirit-given faithfulness, the same promise that finds its ultimate fulfillment in every believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit, secure not because of their own consistency, but because of God's. The section closes with Israel remembering, recalling the days of Moses, the Exodus, the Lord who put his Holy Spirit in their midst, who redeemed them in days of old before they turned against him. Remembering, Isaiah suggests, is where repentance always begins. When we forget whose we are, we inevitably forget who we are. The corrective is not effort, but memory. Recalling, deliberately and often, what God has already done, especially at the cross, where while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Believers who have forgotten their own redemption rarely need new information. They need to remember what they already know. For reflection 1, Isaiah confesses we, including himself, among the guilty, rather than standing apart from his audience. What difference does that posture make in how his warnings land? His own arm brought salvation because there was no human intercessor. What does this tell you about the actual scope of humanity's need before God? What specific act of God's past faithfulness in your own life would it help you to remember more deliberately this week? Thank you for spending this time in Isaiah 59-63. Until next time, keep treasuring the Word.